Saints, St. John, Lutheran School, God's grace, mercy, and peace to you.
From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Well, I'm honored to be back here at the church where Pastor Eilers baptized my two oldest daughters when I was a graduate student here working at the veterinary school on my post-hole digging degree, the old PhD. So thank you for inviting me to talk about biotechnology and other things that we did yesterday. Because I soon learned when I was teaching medicine that a lot of people sort of let biotechnology go to their head. They move along. They do what they have to say because God gave us all of these gifts. So why not use them to further mankind in spite of what the Bible says? So sin is alive and well. And we can go all the way back to when Eve heard the lies of Satan, saw the fruit, took the fruit, bit the fruit, sin turned, gave it to Adam. He saw the fruit, took the fruit, ate the fruit, fell into sin. They didn't really think before they acted when they had this, went through this first lunch break of sin. King David, you know, I mean, he sees Bathsheba cross the horizon. Adultery, sin, child, think before you act. And Samson falls into the grip and deception of Delilah, sin, think before you act. And then, of course, there's Peter. We hear about Peter all the time, denying Christ. I don't know this man. Never seen him. Bearing a false witness. Sin. Think before you act. And the troubled teenager who becomes pregnant, not thinking before they act, and sin. And then, of course, one of the most destructive things of all time is the gossiper, whether in the church or outside the church, spreading all kinds of rumors about people to elevate themselves, not thinking before they act, sinning. The Lord says, think before you act. And St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, all things are beneficial, are permissible. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. So whether you eat, or whether you drink, or whatever you do all to the glory of God. You think before you act. You know, my wife and I have been blessed with five daughters. Usually when I say that, people go, ooh. Nah, we love them all. Three are married and two are still chasing. And we know what it's like when parents, you know, you sort of say, now look, when you go out, and having sat with the young people yesterday evening to talk about this stuff, it was really a lot of fun, enjoyed it. Now, you kind of want to say, now make sure you think before you act. Are you getting the pictures? That's why we have magnets now. We put on refrigerator doors to remind our young people what's going on so that they sort of think before they act, because we don't want them to hurt themselves. We don't want them to fall in sin. So slow down. Smell the roses. Get with the program. And St. Paul writes again, so whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do all to the glory of God. Don't give offense to the Jews or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything that I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that many may be saved. And I even know some of the younger ones in here. Well, I don't know some of the younger ones, but having worked through five daughters, still working through them, now when they come home for love and money, but not in that order. So, you know, I know that within their group, they see a lot of young people who are ready to do things that really violates God's word in their Christian witness. And sometimes it's pretty hard to go up to them. I know it is. Say, I don't think you ought to do that. You better slow down. You better think before you act. Because if you go ahead and do this, you could get yourself in an awful lot of trouble. And so we try and, you know, the young people try and encourage their friends, you know, you really shouldn't get involved. You know, this is one of the most common problems amongst all of us. The thing that St. Paul was talking about. I mean, a couple thousand years ago. Because even in his time, as today, people live in, by all of these slogans. These slogans that are written there in your, the sermon text, they're great for structuring your thinking in biotechnology. When St. Paul says, well, all things are permissible, are lawful. I mean, that's simply the way it is today. I mean, things really haven't changed. Sin is sin, people are people, God's grace is God's grace. My grandfather used to say, all that is new is not true, and all that is true is not new. But yeah, culture is different today. There's no doubt with videos and all these things. We certainly have access to more things. You know, instead of riding camels, we smoke camels. Things are different. So how do we, you know, today we take this phrase, well, all things are permissible. Well, just do it. It's all relative. Do what you got to do. Take the NST plunge. And, of course, what we hear from younger kids very early, well, nobody's perfect, as they go ahead and do things that we know and they know they shouldn't do. So go ahead and do what you have to do. Nobody's watching. So all things are permissible. And St. Paul was fighting these slogans. But he said they're not constructive. Things that don't look at other people as better than yourselves, things that don't build Christ's church up, those are not permissible. Sin is sin. And self is God, according to the old Adam today. And so we, the sinful people, the old Adam, does say everything is permissible. Do what you have to do. And of course, the Bible, well, helpful or beneficial, whatever you want to make it. We can all turn into kind of like a Thomas Jefferson, a deist. We take what we want, kind of like a Denny's menu. The stuff we like, we keep. The stuff we don't like, get rid of it. And so Satan is very good, using slogans of today and a lot of pressure on all of us, not just the young people, but us older curmudgeons, of saying, do what you got to do. And so there is Satan from the very beginning of time, when Adam and Eve sinned, to disconnect you from the Lord. I mean, that's the whole purpose behind Darwinian evolution, is to remove God. Get him out of here. And so it is with a lot of technology. And so we find all kinds of disconnection out there. We find it false security, false hope, false peace, false endurance. And so we go to other places to find how we need to be acting our lives and doing our thing. So we open up the local newspaper, and we take a look at our horoscopes. I kind of call them horrible scopes. And they say, well, you know, today you better be nice to somebody. Duh. That took reading the stars. Come on. Or we can always go to, of course, my daughters used to watch this program a lot, Oprah Winfrey Ministries, where we can find out what we need to do to make ourselves up. Now, I'm not against the shrinks. We, you know, in my family, we have three doctors, and they do some of this stuff. They're valuable and they're helpful. But this stuff apart from God is not what I consider to be all things are permissible. Or we can go to Shirley MacLaine's New Age, you know, this New Age guru who wrote a book called Out on a Limb. A friend of mine came back and wrote another book called Out on a Broken Limb. You know, because you get into all this New Age, Taoism stuff, you know, Star Wars. I like science fiction. I love Star Wars movies. I can't wait for the last one to come out. And there you have, you know, Yoda, the Zen Buddhist, the Force. Everything is there. That's everything's connected. Everything has a soul, like this up here, the water, you. That's why the spaceships, they have a soul. They're animated, you know, so when Yoda's out there, you know, shaking and the spaceship comes up, you know, you know, everything's got a soul. And we think that's the way life is because all things are permissible. Or we can say, as Christians do, well, you know, I like Jesus, but if you want crystals and pyramids, that's okay. What is a crystal and pyramid going to do for you? Except hang it from your rearview mirror when the sun hits and irritate me while I'm driving down the road. That's not the way to heaven. Only through Christ. You know, I worked with sheep. Black-faced Suffolk sheep. What the pastor read, you know, just what God says, true. And it's interesting, an article came out in the Journal of Science not too long ago, and finally scientists have learned. This is interesting. Two sheep on the front cover. And they said, sheep know the shepherd's voice and follow him. It took them 2,000 years to figure that out. We knew this all the time. So you can listen to movies, and I've done this, The Lion King and all these other things, The Circle of Life. It's all there. It's all New Age. And then you have a lot of video games a lot of young people are watching, but of course they say, as I have heard, well, I don't really get it. That's just a game. I can tell you up front, when I was a pastor in Springfield, satanic worship, that is Dungeons and Dragons, is considered by the law enforcement agency across the United States as entry level into Satanism. It's there. Satan is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. Sure, all things are permissible. But not all things are constructive, nor do they build up. So whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do all to the glory of God, giving no offense to Jews or to Greek or the church of God, just as I try to do everything that I can, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that many may be saved. So our Christian witness, when people see you do your thing, they need to see the Christ in you. Not the Satan, the old flesh. So St. Paul is clearly saying, think before you act. That is by faith alone. Your brain, your reason that God gave you, are enabled by God's Spirit to, as St. Paul says, come, let us reason together. And there you have Christ. Yeah, Jesus thought, Jesus saw, and he acted about the sin of mankind. I mean, how corrupted we are in that sin. He saw all of this from Adam and Eve on. This old flesh, this Adam that clings to us, that distorts God's word and all of its truth and purity. So he saw this corruption. He acted on this corruption. His son hung on the cross, took the sin, took the wrath of God on our behalf. He didn't deny it. He didn't say, well, you know, I got better things to do. I want to kind of keep on going, make sure people know that I'm popular up here in heaven. He didn't think about himself first. He thought about us. He acted on us. Everything he did was for the salvation of all people. He thought of us. He acted on our behalf, taking on the sins, the guilt, and the wrath of God from the wooden cradle to the wooden cross and the coldness of the damp tomb, raised for our forgiveness of sins. It's what you hear every Sunday from this pulpit. And I think probably most of you are familiar with it. If you're not, then you hear it again and again, knowing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to heaven except through Christ. He's the gate. And his grace makes all of this possible. And we Christians are enabled by his Spirit to think before we act in sin. We sinners are reminded by the law. And you know what that's all about. To do not have idols, do not commit adultery, do not steal, whatever other commandments there might be. You know, they're all summed up in this one, love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no harm. Only by the grace of God are we enabled to think on Jesus Christ before we act on the sin of Satan. So whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do all to the glory of God, like you're here. That's all to the glory of God. We think before we act. No abortion, no murder, no stealing, no gossiping, no swearing, no adultery, no coveting, no dishonoring your parents and those who are in authority. So you do not seek things of your own advantage, but you seek the advantage of others. This is one of the great lessons of the teachings of Christ in the Bible, is that you always look at others better than yourself. Humility. Philippians 2. There are times in all of our lives when we do not think of the Bible, our accountability, our consequences, because, well, everything is different now. The whole world is relative. We have all these things going on out there. So I'm going to kind of do my own little dog and pony show. But it doesn't work that way according to God's word. By God's grace, we Christians think about our actions because of what God's law and gospel has moved us to do. The law convicts us of our sin, and God's Savior Jesus Christ forgives us of our sins. Not because we speak the words, but because what God in Christ has done for us on the cross and his resurrection and his ascension and his promise to come back for us, to take us to be in heaven where he is, where there we will be also. So we think before we act. And God the Father acted first by keeping his promise to Adam and Eve after their fall into sin by sending his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all of his word to bring forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is salvation and eternal life. And so we think, we act because he first thought about our sinful lives and acted by his grace alone to save every one of us here. And that's the Easter story you hear over and over and over again. Can't add any more to that except amen and amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.